Everybody that has gone into retreat, I really praise everybody, as this is the foundation of our practice. And because retreat is what has been required by all of the great lineage masters, and those people that have gone into retreat, before they went into retreat, their mind wasn't able to settle down. However, when they left retreat, their mind had really calmed down. And then those students who can bring their mind to calm abiding can then recognize the true nature of mind. From recognizing the true nature of mind, they can support the true nature of mind. This is an important pith instruction to go into retreat. Have a look which great lineage master didn't go into retreat. Which great lineage master never went into retreat and attained enlightenment? Every single one of the great perfection lineage masters. And His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, when he was in Yachin, he had this requirement for all the students that everybody went into a 100-day retreat every year. What are we doing at the moment? 7 days of retreat. 7 days of retreat, and then again 7 days of retreat, and then more and more our practice runs smoothly. Then we have less and less obstacles. After all of these years of practice, what is still the best way to recognize our outer, inner, and secret guru? That is to pray to our root guru. For myself, in these past 30 years of study, reflection, and practice, the quickest way for me to purify outer, inner, and secret obstacles has been through praying to the guru. This is my personal experience. I myself also do deity practices. I also make offerings to the Dharma protectors. However, for myself, the purest, the quickest way to purify all kinds of obstacles and the perfect result comes from what? Praying to the Guru. And the result like this also comes the quickest. And when afflictions arise and they're really strong, then definitely if we pray to the Guru, our mind will come to calm abiding. We can abide in the true nature of mind. When we forget our Guru, then we start to run with our negative habits and generate negative karma. And so really to pray to the Guru has much greater blessing than praying to any of the Dakkas and Dakinis. The Dakkas, the Dakinis, the Dharma protectors, they have great blessing. However, it is the root Guru who is closest to us that provides the greatest blessing. The Guru we have met, the Guru is the one that before our very eyes is teaching us the Dharma. This Guru that is teaching us pith instructions, that is giving us empowerments, that is teaching us. This is really the best way to obtain blessings, to receive the siddhi, to be able to remove our afflictive emotions. And praying to the Guru is also the best way for us to recognize our true nature of mind. And also to abide in the true nature of mind. What is the best method? To pray to the Guru. And in this way, really, I believe that all of our outer, inner, and secret obstacles will, in the moment, be purified. And then we receive the blessings and the siddhis. And my personal, most profound experience is through praying to the Guru. This really is the best. And why? Because our Guru has taught us the Dharma, has lived with us. And we've known our Guru for so many years. So definitely the most profound, the deepest connections we're going to have is going to be with our root Guru. And these arising causes are even greater than that with the Buddha. And why? Because without our Guru, we probably wouldn't know who Buddha was. We wouldn't even know about the Dharma. And because the Guru accepted us and taught us and helped us, us these confused, lost, sentient beings. And everything the Guru has said has just been there to help us to accumulate merit. Us to be able to attain liberation and enlightenment, guiding us not to end up in the three lower realms. And who is the only one that can do this for us is our great compassionate root Guru. And so really, we must repay this great kindness of the Guru. And how do we do that? Is to bring our mind home, bring it to calm abiding, and gradually recognize our true nature of mind. And where is our true nature of mind? In reality, since the past, into the future, and in the present, it has never ever left us. It is just us that has left our own true nature of mind. Every moment that we're in the present moment, our mind calm abiding, we may be in the true nature of mind. In this state, we will have left behind all of our afflictions and all of our dramas. And right now, in the present, abiding in the true nature of mind. And then right now, in the present moment, in the true nature of mind, our merit is the same as Buddha. We are the same as Buddha. Our realization is the same as Buddha. Our merit is the same as the Buddha. And so you see how incredible these vast oral pith instructions are of the great perfection. And so I hope that everybody really masters their practice. You see, we only have these few decades to live. And in every year, there are how many months, and every month, how many days, and in those days, how many hours to practice. Already, how much of our life have we wasted? And no matter what I've taught, some people just don't really appreciate it. On the contrary, if somebody helps them, gives them some food to eat, helps them when they are desperate, when they are really sick, and somebody helps to cure them, then they think, oh, this person is really wonderful. However, these most auspicious teachings and pith instructions, when I give these to you, do you really think that they are so special? However, somebody gives you a house or somebody gives you a car, and you think, oh, this is really so special. Please, don't be so foolish. Really, you must cherish these pith instructions. Some of you say, oh, you've traveled a few hours, a few thousand kilometers to come here. Even if you had to have prostrated all the way here, I wouldn't think it was so special. You see, for myself, I waited how many years before I was able to receive these very auspicious pith instructions from His Holiness Lama Atuk Rinpoche. At Larong, we received many, many teachings, many, many tantric teachings. However, we still weren't be able to receive these auspicious pith instructions. We received many empowerments, but still we didn't receive these Trekchor and Togal pith instructions. And we really lived for many years in the Tibetan areas where the conditions are very difficult. It's very, very cold. Why? Just to be able to receive these auspicious pith instructions. So unless you've been waiting for a few years, I really don't think that you have put in so much effort to come here and receive these pith instructions. We should actually put in so much effort in order to be able to receive these precious teachings. And then you will really appreciate these teachings. What do? We come, fly over by aeroplane, and it maybe takes us a day to get to the Tibetan areas. Do you think this is putting a lot of effort? How many years have you spent? 30 years on other things? Do you think that this is a lot of time? You come from Shanghai, you come from Beijing, you maybe spend a day to get here, and you think, oh, this is so difficult to get here. It's so far. I think this is really just a moment's thought. I'm willing to prostrate all the way from Chamdu to where the Guru is in order to meet the Guru. This is what our aspiration should be like. And with this type of humble mind, come and request for the Dharma. And so with respect to our merit and the effort we put in order to request or to receive these pith instructions, really is not a lot. We should normally put in so much effort and have so much respect and humility in requesting for these pith instructions from our Guru. In the Tibetan areas, in Yachin Gar, we used to wait, we used to line up for a week, and even after a week, we never used to receive the pith instructions, even although we were waiting in the snow at the high altitude with only just one set of clothes, one layer of clothes. And why didn't we get pith instructions? Because really, there were too many people wanting and waiting to receive pith instructions. We waited really 10, 15 years to receive these pith instructions. And what are some of the students doing? They fly over here, they sit in the car for one day, and they think, oh, this is so much hard work, this is so difficult. I really don't think this is difficult at all. I think that you really should have to put in a lot of effort in order to be able to receive these very special teachings. We should request the Dharma out of respect. And it's really as a result of your merit, your humbleness, your purity of mind, that you have been able to come here. Many people aren't willing to travel up here. They're not willing to come here for pith instructions. And when we do meet for pith instructions, then they try to force the pith instructions. When you're not permitted to receive pith instructions, you come. When you are permitted to receive pith instructions, you don't come. Do some of your heads have problems? When we do things, we should do it according to the Dharma, according to the rules. Every country has their rules, and we should abide by them. So everybody return home, practice well. And if somebody else says, oh, they're not meditating, don't think, oh, then I won't meditate. Really, this is not the right thinking. If you follow them, then you just like them. You must really practice with those people that are inspirational and do practice. And so, as I mentioned, there are three types of students. And these three categories of students we must not transmit the great perfection to. We transmit to those students who have unmoving belief in the Guru and that have boundless compassion towards sentient beings. Give them oral pith instructions. They go and practice. And again, when we meet again, give them oral pith instructions again. And so this opportunity, you must really cherish it and realize that every single day is precious. Cherish this life. You think one day goes, it's 24 hours gone. We don't get that 24 hours back. We're 24 hours closer to our death. We only have a few decades, not a few centuries. Really, don't make a mistake in this regard. Everybody's worrying whether they have enough money. Who's worrying about whether they have enough life left? Of course, we must have money to live. We need to exist. However, we must really consider that what our age is and understand impermanence. Impermanence. Life is impermanent. You must definitely remember this. I, as Guru, am definitely going to die. You, as students, are definitely going to die. If you really understand this, then go and practice. Practice well. So many people think, I'm definitely going to live so many years still, and then impermanence arises. Just look at what happened during COVID, and then suddenly it's all over. How many people suddenly died? Are we not still living? Is this not the blessing of the Guru and the Three Jewels? Cherish this precious human life. Go home. Thank your parents. Look after your family. Work well. Learn well. And meditate. Definitely you'll have enough time. Look, in the past, there was even a king that, even although he managed the whole country, still had time to practice. We are not as busy as a king. We say that we are so busy. Why are we so busy? It's because we have this negative habit. And then we say, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. In reality, we've been so busy, but we haven't really achieved anything. Day in and day out, we're doing the same thing. Oh, I have to go there today. I have to finish this today. I have to look at my telephone. And don't even have any time to recite one Om Banzar Sato Hong. One Om Mani Padme Hong. Got no time to prostrate to the Guru. Oh, please forgive me, great Guru. My negative habits are so strong. It's best we repent. How much negative karma have we generated, have we committed? And all of those lives that we may have taken, that we have killed, how many sentient beings? Who's going to look after you? How many people have we harmed? So really, we must genuinely repent. And because we must repent, that's why we must practice the great perfection. What is the best method of repentance? Is to practice the great perfection. And why? Because the moment that we recognize the true nature of mind, in that moment, all negative karma is purified. And so the great perfection is the unsurpassable Dharma in order to attain enlightenment. Cherish this opportunity. This Dharma I've already taught you, the Dharma to attain enlightenment. Now it's up to you whether or not you cherish it. And so now everybody return well and really cherish this precious human life. Settle down and really practice well.